From Sapporo, Japan, this is the Davido.org newsletter for October 13th, 2007. This is the very first newsletter given to you by podcast. I'm Arturo Davido, and let's give this a try. I've got a new mic, I've got a new sound system. I hope this is a better sound quality. In this week's contents, number one, fingerprint law revisions, confusion, outrage, and Amnesty International. Item two, Japan's anti-terror, government profiteering, and user-friendly snitch sites. Item 3. Lawsuits. Zainichi Korean has a victory, and the Vietnam workers sue Toyota. Number 4. Upcoming speeches October 22nd through 27th in Waseda, Tochigi, and Kyoto. Item 5. The Idubor case. Hearing October 18th. Beers at their Yokohama bar October 20th. And finally, Metropolis's Mark Devlin says, "Just let the Japan Times die." Item number one, fingerprint law revisions, confusion, outrage, and Amnesty International. If you haven't heard about the new immigration procedure coming into effect next month, it's time you did. It will affect not only tourists and frequently traveling business people, but also long-term residents. You will be targeted by a useless and xenophobic system, treated as fresh off the boat no matter how long you've lived here. From November 20th, 2007, all foreigners crossing the border into Japan will have their fingerprints and mug shots taken. Over the past few weeks, I've been asked a number of questions about some recent news articles, which indicate that long-term or permanent residents will not be fingerprinted at the border. For example, YahooNews.com said, "Permanent residents, including ethnic Koreans born in Japan, will be exempt from the law, along with state guests and diplomats." The MalaysiaSun.com said the same thing, "Permanent residents will be exempt from the law." And TaiwanHeadlines.gov wrote, "Japanese permanent residency certificate holders, people under the age of 16, and guests of the country's government chief administrators will not be subject to the new measure," said Sasaki Seiko, head of Japan's Immigration Agency's Intelligence Management Department. Similar misportrayals of the law have appeared in the Japan Times, Iran TV, Kyoto, and many other news sources, but what a mess. Sloppy, lazy journalism and interpretation, if not some careless statements by government officials. As reported on Davido.org as far back as last June, the new immigration procedures, according to the Japanese government, apply to, and I'm quoting the English original from their website, 1. Persons under the age of 16, b. Special status permanent residents, 3. Those performing actions which would be performed, thus written, by those with a status of residence, diplomat, or official government business. Well, let's define our terms, shall we? Special status permanent residents, or tokubetsu eijusha in the Japanese, mean the Zainichi generational foreigners. This means regular status permanent resident immigrants, called the ippan eijusha in Japanese, or long-term foreign residents, or teijusha, are not exempt. They will be fingerprinted. This means if you are not a citizen, a Zainichi, or naturalized, every time you enter the country, don't comply, you don't get in, be advised. You find this annoying, even offensive? Well, don't take it lying down. Some suggestions on what you can do about it at my website at davito.org on the blog. Also details on an Amnesty International public forum and this in Tokyo, October 27th, same link. Attend and get organized. You can also see some letters of protest by Martin Izott in the Japan Times and the Yomiuri. Again, go to my website. This is the October 13th newsletter. Even more information out in an article I wrote for Metropolis magazine, which will be appearing on Friday, October 26th. Eyes peeled. Item number two, Japan's anti-terror programs against non-Japanese. Japanese government profiteering through public exhibitions and user-friendly snitch sites. Well, there's some pretty fascinating stuff going on these days in the official putsch to treat all foreigners as terrorists, criminals, so what? We Japanese can treat non-Japanese any way we like in our own country. For example, get a load of this upcoming sales exhibition of anti-terrorism goods coming up next week in Tokyo. This is from the English original. Now, confronting terrorism, special equipment, exhibition and conference for anti-terrorism. This will be October 17th through 19th, 2007, Tokyo Big Site, Tokyo, Japan. And you can go and see the actual website of it at a place called Tokyo Big Site, www.seecat.biz. The select list of contributors, and note how the Ministry of Education is also attending. You have DuPont KK, General Electric International Inc., Hitachi High Tech Technologies Corporation, Kawasaki Kogyo, the Ministry of Education, Mitsubishi Electric Corp., Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Nagasaki Shipyard, NPO, Institute for Nuclear and Biological and Chemical and Radiational Science. I'm just reading this. I didn't make this up. Osaka University Graduate School, the Weinmetall, Waffe, Munition, GmbH, Sakura Rubber Company, Sumitomo, a lot. There's more. What is the point of this meeting? And I'll be reading from the original English off their website. Merits of exhibiting. It is the first presentation in Japan of assembled counterterrorism equipment and information. It is an original and very important opportunity to exchange information with the latest counterterror products and services brought together under one roof. As a specialized exhibition, it has two major features. Quote, effective presentation targeting specific group of people. Great, thanks. And attendees coming with a purpose. Attendance of important managers with purchasing authority is guaranteed by the connections with relative authorities built through RISCON. RISCON is a company name, RISCON. This is the ideal chance to have direct contact with exhibited products and services and to discuss purchase and introduction. Attendance at the site is limited to people connected to terrorism countermeasures, such as crisis management, administrators from major facilities, and public servants from government administration offices and local government. It is planned that during the exhibition, entry to the site will be limited to only about 3,000 people. Because of this, it will be possible to exhibit high-level equipment and products with special specifications which cannot generally be shown in public. Comment. All the spooks under one roof, and our bureaucrats attending. Now, that's convenience. Full files again at debito.org. Suggest you journalists get digging on this while there's time. And speaking of that, look how user-friendly the Japanese government, with their long history of UN-condemned quote-unquote snitch sites to rat on illegal foreigners for any reason whatsoever, is making things now. This is weird on several levels. Here I go. I'm reading from the Japanese, my translation. Notice, how to submit information on illegal foreigners when government offices are closed, by the Tokyo Immigration Bureau. From October 6, 2007, we will be taking information on illegal foreigners on Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays to phone Tokyo 03-5796-7256. In order to restore Japan as the world's safest country, immigration has the goal of reducing the number of illegal foreigners by half in the 5 years between 2003 and 2008. To this end, we need everybody's cooperation. So, from October 6, 2007, in addition to the regular business hours of government offices, we will be open to receiving information on illegal foreigners by phone on Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., exceptions being holidays between December 29th and January 3rd. Note that we will not be open for informants to visit in person on these Saturdays, Sundays, or holidays. Note 2, this avenue will only be open for those wishing to inform on illegal foreigners. Those with other needs should call us during regular business hours when our offices are open. Comment. This is positively Orwellian. More on other snitch sites in Japan, their history, and their abusable parameters at the Japan Times, March 30, 2004, an article I wrote entitled Downloadable Discrimination. The Immigration Bureau's new snitching website is both short-sighted and wide open to all manner of abuses. Of course, this is up on my website. Anyone want to snitch on me to immigration and see what happens? Item 3, lawsuits. Zainichi Korean has a victory, and Vietnam workers sue Toyota. Another lawsuit against an employer for bad work practices. This time around, however, the plaintiffs are non-Japanese. Let's hope their efforts both make the labor laws more clearly enforceable and highlight more of the problems created by treating non-Japanese laborers as inferior. Here's the article. Exploiting Vietnamese, Apocalypse Now. This is the Japan Times, Sunday, April 29, 2007, written by Mark Schreiber, quoting from an article by Shukan Kinyobi of April 20th. Excerpt. On March 27th, Shukan Kinyobi reports, Lien and five of her Vietnamese compatriots filed charges in the Nagoya District Court against the Japan International Training Cooperation Organization, or JITCO, and TMC, a Toyota City-based vehicle manufacturer that produced components on a subcontractor basis to Toyota Motor Corporation. The six demanded unpaid wages and financial compensation of some 70 million yen. After having their personal seals, bank deposit books, and passports taken away for quote-unquote safekeeping, the trainees were put to work at a monthly salary of 58,000 yen. Yes, that is Goman Haseyen per month. They received a paltry 100 yen per hour for additional overtime work. The six plaintiffs alleged that their training frequently involved verbal harassment by supervisory staff. Any complaints were met with the threat of deportation, and mistakes on the job brought curses like, "You people aren't humans, you're animals." The greatest indignity, though, was that the employer posted a table outlining how many times and for how long its workers were permitted to utilize the toilets during work hours, and enforced the rule strictly. For each minute in the toilet in excess of the allotted times, they were docked 15 yen. Besides being fined for responding to the call of nature, the six women also alleged they underwent sexual harassment. One of the bosses, they claim, would visit their dormitory rooms at night and even slip into their futons, where he offered certain financial incentives in exchange for sexual favors. Rest of the article at davito.org. Thanks to Shukan Kinyobi and people at the Japan Times for bringing this to the fore, as opposed to all the rest of the J Press, which, according to Google News, ignored this significant court victory. Quoting from the article, Korean woman wins discrimination damages in Japan. This is from the Cholsun Ilbo, South Korea, October 5, 2007. A Kyoto court ruled partially in favor of a Korean woman who sued a Japanese landlord for refusing to rent a room to her. A Kyoto district court ruled that refusing to rent a room to a person due to her nationality is illegal, and ordered the landlord to pay the woman 8.65 million won, which is about 110 man, hyakuju man, pretty much the average award in these lawsuits, in compensation. Courts have taken a dim view of refusal to let rooms to foreigners since an Osaka court in 1993 ruled this went against the constitutional stipulation of equality before the law. But in reality, Japanese homeowners often reject foreign tenants, citing differences in the style and customs. Counsel for the plaintiff said the ruling was a, quote, head-on attack on discrimination based on nationality, end quote, and predicted it would help eradicate unfair discrimination against foreigners. The woman signed a contract to rent a room through a real estate agency in January 2005, but after she'd paid the deposit to the landlord and commissions to the realtor, the landlord changed his mind since she was a foreigner. End article. Comment. The moral is, well, get refused for being a foreigner, then sue. It'll only take you a year in the Japanese court system, and you better have signed a contract. Next step necessary in the court precedent ladder, winning in court for getting refused a room for being a foreigner before a contract was even signed. Any takers? No doubt there are plenty of listeners out there who have experience, yes, Pa? 4. Upcoming speeches October 22nd through 27th in Waseda, Tochigi, in Kyoto. Here are 4 speeches I've got coming up in about a week. Attend if you like, and contact me at davito@davito.org in advance if you want to buy a book or a t-shirt so I can bring some down. Monday, October 22nd, Waseda University. I'm giving a speech in English on Japan's new fingerprint laws for non-Japanese. That will be from 2:40 in the afternoon to 4:20 in the afternoon at the Graduate School of Asia Pacific Studies, Waseda University, Building 19, Room 315. And that will be part of my topic that will be on October 26th, Metropolis Magazine. Wednesday, October 24th, I'll be speaking at Waseda University again in English at a forum on migration and integration, Japan in a comparative perspective. This will be a panel discussion on migration and integration, voices from the grassroots at 2 to 4 p.m. The chair will be Andrew Horvat, and I will be speaking with seven other speakers. I'll get about 10 minutes. This is sponsored by the German Institute for Japanese Studies and the Waseda University Graduate School of Asia Pacific Studies. Friday, October 26th, this will be in Utsunomiya-shi in Tochigi-ken. I'll be giving a speech in Japanese on racial discrimination in Japan. Surprise, surprise. It's at the 9th Tochigi-ken Human Rights Seminar, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. It'll be in Japanese, and the speakers will be Morihara Hideki of IMADER, a human rights group. You can find out more about them at www.imadr.org. And, of course, by myself. It's sponsored by the NPO Jinken Center Tochigi, and the phone number for them is 0285-232217. And finally, after a busy week, Saturday, October 27th, Kyoto Sangyodai Kyoto. There is a Peace as a Global Language Conference, and you can have more information at that, http://pgljapan.org, no spaces, from 3:30 to 4:20 in room 153, I will be speaking on Japan's imminent internationalization. Can Japan assimilate its immigrants? Item 5. The Udubor case. There's a hearing in October 18th and beers at their Yokohama bar October 20th. I'm going to be reading from a letter from Chris Pitts of Amnesty International Group 78. Quote, "Please support Mr. Asayuamen Udubor. A personal appeal. While this is not an official Amnesty International case, I feel that many of you, like me, will want to do something about this to help. Please read on. Osayuamen Idubor, a Nigerian national and the owner of a cafe bar in Yokohama, was arrested by police in January 2007 following an accusation that he had raped a customer 11 weeks earlier. Although there is no material evidence to justify holding him, he is still in police custody. The courts are treating him as guilty until proven innocent. Although his health is deteriorating, police have denied him access to a hospital. For the full story, go and see davidta.org with an update of the case. The important issue in this case is the lack of a speedy trial. The man is languishing in prison on the basis of a groundless, i.e., there is not a shred of material evidence against him, accusation. It could happen to anyone. If you have time, please come and show your support for Mr. Udubor by A. attending his next hearing, which will be Thursday, October 18th at 1:30 p.m. This is at the Yokohama District Court, Nihon Odori 9, Nakaku, Yokohama City, which is close to JR Kannai Station. Map in Japanese up at davidta.org. Or B. attending the special evening in Yokohama, Saturday, October 20th from 7 p.m. That will be at Mr. Udubor's Cafe and Bar. And it's a place called Big Wise Cafe in Yokohama-shi, Nakaku, Yamashita-cho, and a place called La Porte, Motomachi. Telephone 045-662-2261. It's open from 8 o'clock. It's open from 6 o'clock in the evening until morning. You can get a map in Excel and HTM format at davidta.org. What will we be doing? Ma, it'll be Arado Davidta and Chris Pitts and friends going to Mr. Idubor's bar, which is being run in his absence by his wife, to offer practical support and solidarity in the form of our customs. In other words, we'll have a few drinks. Why don't you join us? If you can't join us on October 20th, then go there some other time. You can also help Mrs. Idubor when she visits her husband. You can join her. See Arado Davidto's website for details. Thanks for reading. Hope to see you there. Regards, Chris Pitts, Amnesty International Group, Japan 78. And you can find out more information by them at www.aig78.org. And finally, Metropolis's Mark Devlin says, "Just let the damn Japan Times die." Nearly 2 weeks ago, I put out a special message to everyone about the financial plight of the Japan Times. It raised its newsstand prices by 30 yen, and I suggested how you might lend it some assistance. It became one of the most commented pages on my blog, with even the president of the Japan Times, Yukiko Ogasawara, expressing her thanks online nearly immediately. Others commented with facts and figures about the newspaper's sales numbers and offered some pretty harsh advice of their own. But the biggest piece of non-advice came from Mark Devlin, founder of Crisscross Incorporated and publisher of JapanToday.com and Metropolis Magazine. He just sold Crisscross to Company Japan Inc. for an undisclosed sum and commented on my blog no small measure of triumphalism and contumely that the Japan Times should just be allowed to die. I was once a former columnist at JapanToday.com, contributing 18 articles between 2000 and 2002. That is, until they bilked me out of some of my pay. Mark himself brought up that I am not, quote, do anything further. From what I have heard from other contributors who also claim they were bilked there, I am not alone in feeling that there is a business practice involved. You can see my letter and my answer at my blog. How I concluded in my reply to Mark, like this. But for this reason alone, I hope the Japan Times survives. They commendably treat their contributors better. Crisscross should definitely not be the template for success in your industry. Anyway, I'm glad Japan Inc. took your paper over. The new editor and owner of your publication have been in touch, and have already paid me the balance your company owed me for more than 5 years, or plus 5% per annum interest. And I look forward to writing for them again if they'll have me back. They're better business people, because they've already demonstrated that goodwill also matters to the bottom line. Good news is, as I said earlier, that Metropolis has already asked me back. Thanks. My next article will be next week, Friday, October 26th. Have a read. All right. I'd like to say thank you very much to Trans-Pacific Radio for hosting me. And as I said, this is the first time I've ever done this. This is done without edits, without cuts. I'm just reading from a script without any preparation. But this time around, I'm going to close with a little something special. I'm going to talk about Duran Duran, what I have in the past. And I think I'll close every one of my podcasts with a little song from Duran Duran. This is from their Arena album. This is a live cut of Careless Memories, and you might be surprised. I know many of you think, well, you know, Duran Duran, give him a try. Four. Davito.org. I am Davito, Otto Davito. It's nice to hear from you. It's nice to always talk to you. And I think I'll close out with this track. Thanks very much for listening. Until next time, bye-bye.